ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 4 பாதா 1 ஆவருத்தியதிகரணம். ஆவருத்திஹி அசகிருத் உபதேசாத் லிங்காச்ச ஆத்மத்வ உபாசனாதிகரணம். ஆத்மேதி து உபகச்சந்தி கிராஹயந்தி ச பிரதீகாதிகரணம். ந பிரதீகே ந ஹி சஹா பிரம்மதிருஷ்டியாதிகரணம். பிரம்மதிருஷ்டிருத்கர்ஷாத் ஆதித்யாத்மத்யதிகரணம். ஆதித்யாதிமதயஹ ச அங்க உபபத்தேஹே. வி ஹவ் பீன் சீயிங் this adhikaranam, the fifth adhikaranam of this pada, and the sixth sutra, 483rd running Brahma Sutra in the last class. And we saw the word analysis also, and we started to discuss our refutation of Purvapakshi's arguments. And Purvapakshi's first argument was what? Prithivi hinkaraha. Prithivi refers to loka and mantra is also there. So our confusion is, Purvapakshi said loka is inferior. Loka here, Prithivi, air, is inferior and mantra is superior. Hinkara is superior. Therefore, inferior one is Vishaya and superior one is Prakaraha. Prakara, Vishaya, all that thing we saw in the last class. So loka must be seen as mantra is his argument. And the reason why mantra is superior is loka does not give us karma phalam. It is not capable of producing the result. But mantra is karma angatvat, is part of the karma, and it is capable of producing a result. Shankaracharya, he turns the table and he argues that loka is superior to mantra. It is so because mantra is only a karma angam, whereas loka is karma phalam itself. So karma angam is sadhanam and loka is karma phalam. So of the two, the end alone is superior, and therefore phala rupa loka is utkrishtaha, is superior. And sadhana rupa mantra is nikrishtaha. We say karma palatvatim loka is superior. This is the first argument. And the second argument is purely a grammar argument. This also we saw in the last class. I am only refreshing. Lokeshu panchavidam sama upasita. That was what was read. And here he focused on the word lokeshu, upurupakshi, which is saptami vibhakti, seventh case. And according to the upasana rule, seventh case indicates nikrishta vastu, inferior vastu. So on inferior object, you imagine a superior vastu. Nikrishta vastu is always an object. And Utkrishta Vastu is Prakaraha or visualization. Therefore, he has powerful argument. Father Shankaracharya asks the question, don't tell me what is Saptami and all that. Lokeshu Panchavidam Sama Upasita. Translate in such a way and you will tell me what is what. In the Purvapakshi, he translates this sentence and he says, visualize the world as Sama, Sama Mantra. Here, when you say visualize the world as Sama, and the world is seventh case, and you translate this as an object. Then you say, visualize the world as sama, important. So in the sentence sama, the word is second case, as sama, second case, and you convert seventh case into second case, and second case sama into third case. All that you do, these are all some jugglers in grammar. We do not worry about too much in that, just only to understand. So visualize the world as sama, so lokam samna upasita. So Shankaracharya's argument is, in your translation you compromise with two cases, but our translation is visualize sama as world. So in our translation we compromise only one vibhakti, so we convert the saptami vibhakti into tritiya. Therefore our interpretation is closer to Vedavakyam due to less number of compromises. So this is one argument. And the third argument is, this also we refuted. The third argument was what? Lingat. Lingat means there is an indication. Lingat is symbol, clue, and all. I already told. Lingat. There is an indication in support of my clarification. As a clue or linga, Purupakshi quoted a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, sixth section, first mantra, that says, Yam Eva Rik, Agni Sama. That is the mantra. And yesterday, actually in the last class, I said I had printed this mantra wrong, and so I would redo it today. The correct mantra is, Yam Eva Rik, Agnihi Sama, Tat Yetat Asyam Ruchim, Adhyudam Samam, Tasmat Rityadhyudam Samagiyate, Yame Vasa Agnihi Amaha Tat Sama. Sama, Sa and Amaha. That is how you separate. And Sa refers to Samaveda, Amaha refers to Agni. So the word Yam literally means this. And in this Khandogya Upanishad context, this refers to Prithvi. And Yam Evarik. This Prithivi is like Rik Mantra. Agni Sama, Agni alone is Sama Mantra. So Purupakshi argues, look at the very construction of the sentence. And from that it is clear that Prithivi and Agni must be Vishayaha, objects. And Rik and Sama Mantra must be Prakaraha. So from this it is clear, Mantra is Prakara and Lokas are Vishayaha. Therefore my interpretation is correct. This is Purupakshi's argument. And Sankaracharya says, as usual, no. He says, lingam you quote, the clue or the symbol you quote is supporting me only. Me means Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya says, he says, the word eva is used after em. Em evarik. So eva is emphasis, and Shankaracharya argues, emphasis is required not for the object of meditation, but emphasis required for prakaraha, prakara of meditation. Prakara is important, and that is the new teaching. For example, if you say, see Ganga as goddess, the emphasis is on goddess only. Prakara is new teaching. Therefore, emphasis is required on prakara, not upon the vishaya, the object. That is the new teaching. Here, the word eva comes after iyam, and therefore, iyam prithivi must be prakara and not vishaya. Lingam is not supporting you, but it supports me only, according to Shankaracharya. And because of the position, eva, that is the clinching argument of Shankara. So with this, the third argument is also refuted. We saw up to this in the last class. Now let us go to the fourth and final argument. This is actually a difficult situation for us also. We have made a statement in the previous Adhikaranam, which was favorable then, but is adverse in here. There the topic was what, if you remember, Mano Brahma Iti Upasita. There we said mind, manaha, is vishaya, object, and Brahman is prakara. Visualize mind as Brahman, not vice versa. So visualize such as Brahman, mind as, visualize sun as Brahman, mind as all that, aditya. So one of the arguments we gave at that time was, whatever occurs first is powerful, and therefore it should be taken as vishaya. So word Brahman is occurring second only, therefore it is weaker and must be imagination. First is the fact, first occurring, the word is fact, and second one is imagination. Now the Purupakshi takes that argument to his advantage and applies here, and when that is applied, we are in trouble. How? In both the mantras, loka is mentioned first and mantra is mentioned as second word. So if you apply the above argument in both the mantras, Aditya occurs first, and in the next one, Prithivi occurs first. And the Sama mantra occurs second in both the mantras. So we are trying to present the mantra as Vishaya. Then how do you account for your argument? For that we say, the rule is a general rule. Yes, what we said earlier is correct. It's a general rule. Because whatever we listen to enters into your mind. If you listen to anything, whatever you listen to first, that enters into our mind without contradiction. So the first information is always stronger because it has the advantage. Like for example, a person entering into a hall, the one who enters first, he can take any seat. But the second one who is entering is the disadvantageous position because he can get only a seat that is not occupied by the first. So therefore, the general rule is the first is stronger than the second one. But there are exceptions, even though that is true, but there are exceptions. The second one is proved stronger by other methods. Then the second one will push the first one out. Second has stronger power that neutralizes the disadvantages of coming second. For example, erroneous perception and right perception is an exception quoted for this nyaya. This is a nyaya actually. Seeing the rope, for example, as the rope is the right perception. But in the rope snake example, seeing the rope as the rope is the right perception. And in the two, which one takes first? We see rope as snake. Because whenever we see, the confusion comes because we see rope as snake. So the erroneous perception takes place first. So every erroneous perception does have an advantage. However, even though it has the advantage of being perceived first, when it is proved by pramanam, the later perception, even though it has the disadvantage of second, because it has pramanam, it can negate the first one. Almost everyone thought like that, and someone has to say the sun does not go around the world, and sun is at the center, and earth goes around. Similarly, the later knowledge dismissed the former one. So the rule applicable in the previous sutra is not applicable in this adhikarana, because we have powerful reason to dislodge that nyaya. The reasons are the three previous arguments are powerful to dislodge the fourth one. This is a case of exception. The general rule is negated here. So with this adhikaranam is also over. And you should see the loka as mantra or mantra as loka. That is a question. We say mantra as the loka and not vice versa. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. Asinadhikaranam is the sixth adhikaranam, Asinadhikaranam. And it has got one sutra. Sorry, it's a larger it has four sutras. Asinaha Sambhavat is the seventh sutra, first pada, fourth chapter, 484th running Brahma Sutra. So the posture of the meditator, how he sits and how he has to meditate, that posture while engaged in meditation is discussed in this sloka, this sutra. This is fairly a long adhikaranam compared to the previous one with four sutras. And in the case of upasana, whether there are posture restrictions or not, that is the question discussed here. When you do upasana meditation, whether there are posture restrictions or not, whether one should meditate in sitting pose, standing pose, or lying posture. Upasana is mental work. Upa plus asana. Asana means dwelling, to stay, or to be, or to remain. And upa means in the proximity or close. Near what? Near various objects of meditation. Upasya Vishaya, and be near to that. Whatever may be the Upasya Vishaya, be near to it. Who or what should be near the Upasya Vishaya? That is also another question. Whether it should be the body or the mouth or the mind should be near the Upasya Vishaya. We say the mind being in contact with the Upasya Vishaya. It can stand close to any object in a particular way. It is by way of entertaining, dealing with that object. Staying close means what? Remaining closely attached to it mentally. Vas means to say, to stay. Upavas. So upavasaha. Mentally staying close to God by entertaining the thought on God. So saguna brahma vishaya, and that is the you cannot, you know, be manasa. It's a manasa vyapara. It's a mental condition. So it's upasana. It cannot be Nirgunam Brahman, and then it is not called Upasana. If it is Nirgunam Brahman, it should be called what? Nididhyasanam, because that word also is familiar to us. So the controversy comes here because of what? Upasana is an activity of the mind, and what should be the condition of the body? Upasana is activity of the mind. So why are you worried about the body at all? When two people are there and they visit a particular place, and one is entertaining a person, let us say, what should be done to the body? Whether restriction should be there or it can do anything it likes, the body. After all, the job is done by the mind only. During upasana, body posture should be there or not is the question. And the Purupakshi says, since body has no role to play because it is a mental activity, what is going, since it is only this posture restrictions are not there for the body, that is the argument of Purupakshi. And what is going to be Siddhanta? Siddhanta says, no, postural restrictions are there for the body also. And this is the general introduction to this sutra. So in the first sutra, Vyasacharya says, restrictions are there. And the ideal posture is a seated posture, not standing or lying, seated posture. The physical posture may be standing, sitting, and reclining. And Vyasacharya says, of the three, sitting is the best one for upasana meditation. Not nididhyasana, be careful. And Shankaracharya, in his introduction, points out, before answering the question, he asks what type of meditation it is. Meditation can be also classified into three types. One is Karmanga Dhyanam. Number two, Swatantra or Vedanta Dhyanam. Number three, Nididhyasana. All these are already we have dealt with. I'm just only bringing this thing in context. So there are three types of meditations. Karmanga Dhyanam as part of a ritual. Swatantra or Vedanta Dhyanam or Nididhyasana. And Karmanga Dhyanam is that meditation which is part of a ritual. And it has to be practiced while the ritual is being performed. Before offering a particular oblation in a homa, one should meditate upon a devata. And is done at the time of performing the oblation. This is called Karmanga Dhyanam. And Swatantra Dhyanam is not part of any ritual. And it is independent meditation. We have many such meditation. For example, if you take the Taittiriya Upanishad, first chapter, Sikshavalli, there are so many meditations are prescribed there. All of them are also Swatantra Upasanas. They are innumerable in number. And the third one is Vedantic meditation of Jnana Vritti, which is already received from Shastra. So Shankaracharya points out in his introduction to this Adhikarana. And the first and the third variety are not under discussion here. In Karmanga Upasana and also Nididhyasana, both are not under discussion. In Karmanga Upasana, there cannot be any controversy because for performance of karma, whatever posture is prescribed for karma will apply to the Karmanga Upasana also. If a karma has to be performed sitting, then the upasana, Karmanga Upasana also will be sitting. Even for example, Sandhyavandana Karma, there are special rules. For example, at the type of Argya Pradhanam, if you are asked to do Dhyanam, whatever posture of Argya Pradhanam you do, he has to meditate for a few minutes in that posture only. Similarly, direction of karma. And if you are to do facing east, the upasana also has to be done facing east. Veda prescribed the posture direction for all karmas, which is to be followed for upasana also. Facing the east and eastern part of the ground should be lower than where he is seated. These are other conditions also. You sit facing east and the eastern part of the ground should be lower than where a person is seated. A place which goes downward in the eastern direction he should choose. Therefore, Karmanga Upasana is not the topic of this Adhikarana. Then is it Vedanta Dhyanam? Here Vedanta meditation is not under consideration because it is not done for Adrishta Phalam, Punya Mandal. Rules are compulsory when Phalam is in the form of Punyam, invisible Phalam. So it is for avoiding forgetfulness or for assimilation. Nididhyasanam does not require any posture and it becomes our choice. You can do Nididhyasanam in any posture. For Nididhyasanam, Vedantic meditation posture is left to the choice of the individual only. So if they choose posture like any karma, there is no harm. The middle one, that is the Swatantra Upasana, whether there is posture or not is our controversy. So among the three types of upasanas, first and the third have no relevance here. The Swatantra Upasana only is the question. And the Purupakshi says there is no restriction whatsoever in that also. And the Siddhanti will say there is posture restriction. And one should meditate in the sitting posture. Use the best posture that is practical. Because in that alone, mind can focus on the Upasya Devata. You are meditating on a particular object or Devata. So mind should be meditating on that. In the standing posture, what is the problem? One may lose balance. The eyes When you keep the eyes closed, it contributes to balance. If you try to stand or walk with closed eye, you lose the balance. In meditation, you close your eyes. Then you will lose balance if you are standing. And you cannot concentrate on meditation at all. And if you take reclining posture, there is no physical balancing problem. That is correct. But when the eyes are closed, the sooner or later, you get sound sleep. Or sounding sleep, one of them. Therefore, reclining posture is also not ideal. Therefore, sitting posture only is ideal for meditation. And Vyasacharya does not say whether one should sit on the ground or on a chair or some raised location. Ideal should be sitting on the floor. If a person cannot sit on the floor, if he sits, maybe the meditation will be directed towards his knees only, perhaps, knee joints. So if he cannot sit on the floor, it is perfectly all right if a person has to sit on a raised platform like a chair. Because of practicality, sitting is the best of the three postures. And if it is to be in an elevated seat, that is absolutely fine. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Asinaha sambhavat. Two words only. Asinaha means remaining seated. Remaining seated, then we should supply for what? One should practice upasana or meditation. Sambhavat. Sambhavat, because that is practical and conducive and favorable. Now let us see the significance of the words. Asinaha means remaining seated. Sambhavat, practical or conducive. And let us see these are the very, very simple sutra with only two words, and remaining seated, and that is practical and conducive for meditation. That is the simple meaning of this mantra, this sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra of this adhikaran. Dhyana Achya, 8th sutra, first pada, 4th chapter, 485th running Brahma Sutra. So an argument in support of the previous sutra is adduced here. Upasana is another word for dhyana. Both of them are synonymous. Dhyana, meditation, upasana, both are synonymous. And in the Shastra, dhyana is defined as mental existence, which involves twofold efforts. Mental existence involves twofold efforts. One is what? Withdraw the mind or thought from the external objects. You have to withdraw your mind or thought from the external objects. This is a tough proposition. Even though we go to meditation, the body comes with us to do meditation, yet the mind is in any place other than the room. You may close the door, sit in any posture and all that, but mind, the all closed door, open door doesn't mean anything to the mind. It can fly anywhere. So mind gets stuck on something, and plucking the mind from that object is really difficult. Withdrawal of the mind from the object is called Vijatiya Pratyaya Nivritti. This is called Vijatiya Pratyaya Nivritti. And the second part, first is withdrawing the mind from external object. And the second part is directing the mind towards the Upasya Vishayaha, which existence is called Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravaha. So Vijatiya Pratyaya Nivritti and Sajatiya Pratyaya Pravaha. Mind has to be plucked and it should be directed. It is plucking and the directing process. Seated posture is conducive for withdrawal of the mind. Therefore, do meditation. This is the general analysis of this sutra in the sitting posture. Let us see the word analysis. Also a simple sutra with only two words, dhyanat and cha. So, cha and dhyanat. Since the upasana is identical with dhyanam, as we mentioned earlier, the above condition is accepted. What is the above condition? The seated posture. So you do it in a sitting posture. And Vyasacharya uses the word dhyanam. He only uses the word only dho. So now let us see the significance of the words. Dhyanat in panchami, withdrawal of the mind is needed. So fifth case it is. So this is possible in seated posture. Cha is to combine. Now let us do simple sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra. Achalatvam cha pekshya. అచలత్వం చాపేక్ష 9th సూత్ర ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ చాప్టర్ 486th రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. సో ది ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ ఇన్ సపోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది 7th సూత్ర ఇస్ కంటిన్యూడ్ హియర్ లైక్ ద ప్రీవియస్ సూత్ర. సో విత్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు ఇమ్మొబిలిటీ ఆఫ్ ది ఎర్త్, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఎర్త్ ఇస్ ఇమ్మొబిలిటీ ఆఫ్ ది ఎర్త్ ఇన్ ది ఆర్డినరీ టు ది ఆర్డినరీ ఐస్. వెన్ యూ లుక్ అట్ ది ఎర్త్ యూ డోంట్ సీ ఎనీ రొటేషన్ ఆర్ మూమెంట్. సో ఇమ్మొబిలిటీ ఆఫ్ ది ఎర్త్ విత్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు ది ఆర్డినరీ ఐ, ది స్క్రిప్చర్ ఫ్యాన్సీస్ ద ఎర్త్ యాజ్ బీయింగ్ ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ మెడిటేషన్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ స్టేస్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఇన్ స్పేస్ ఇన్ మెడిటేషన్. So this is some kind of imagination, some fantasy. The scripture fancies the earth as being engaged in concentration as if it stays fixed in space in meditation. So it suggests that such a steady application of the mind can be attained by meditating only in a sitting position. So if the body is at rest, there is rest for the mind also. If the body is in motion, it is restless. The mind also becomes restless. So steadiness accompanies meditation. Steadiness of body and mind is possible only while sitting and not while standing or waking. Look at that. Acharya, Vyasacharya has spent so many sutras to convince us that we should sit and meditate. And a particular expression in language, in Shastra, and Laukika Vyavahara. So there are, we have to look at some of these things in some perspective. In Chandogya Upanishad 7th chapter, 6th section, 1st mantra says, Dhyanam vava chittabhyaha dhyayativa prithivim dhyayativa antariksham dhyauhum dhyayantiva apaham dhyayantiva parvata. Parvata, the mountains, mountains which stand still appear to be meditating. Look at the imagination. All the mountains are standing still, so they are all meditating. This is Shastriya Vivahara. And the Laukika Vivahara is what? The crane, the example we all know, the crane that stands still on the bank of the river or some waters until it gets the fish. So that is the worldly example. And in the Shastra, the Parvatas, even the mountains, waters and all, they are all in meditation. So the moment the fish goes nearby, it is on meditation as it were, seeing the stillness of the bird, the fish is a little careless, so it takes the fish. So meditation and inactivity go together in the case of that crane at up to that point. Because of Shastra Vyavahara and Laukika Vyavahara, meditation is practiced with stillness. Either it is this or that, both meditation is practiced with stillness. And if you want to practice meditation, you have to stand still or sit still. How many minutes can you stand still, for example? Therefore, seated posture is again suggested here. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. Achalatvam cha apekshya. Cha apekshya. So cha means moreover, there is an expression, apekshya, and moreover, there is an expression, mountain meditates as it were, parvatam. That's what we just now said. The crane meditates as it were. Apekshya means based on achalatvam, their stillness or motionlessness. Now we'll see the significance of the words. Cha means there are Laukika and Shastriya expressions, that conjunction. Mountain is still. Achalatvam, motionlessness, stillness. No other reasons for comparison at all. It is inert. The mountains, there's no other means for comparison. So with respect to some sadrishya, no comparison is possible because meditation is the job of a living being. There can be only one basis. Meditator is still and mountain is still. Therefore, seated posture is suggested again. Because the center adhikaranam is asina adhikaranam. Then the next sutra, smaranti cha. Smaranti cha, 10th sutra, first pada, 4th adhyaya, 487th running Brahma Sutra. Then again, this also continues the support for Sutra 7. And that is concluded here in this last sutra of this Adhikaram. Here Vyasacharya gives Shruti support. The posture is mentioned in so many places. He refers to Shruti and Smriti support. And first in the Smriti, in Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, Shlokas 11 and 12. Suchaudeshe pratishtapya స్థిరమాసనమాత్మనః నాత్యుచ్ఛ్రితం నాంతి నీచం శైలాజన కుశోత్తరం. సో టు ప్రాక్టీస్ ద యోగా ఎ పర్సన్ షుడ్ మేక్ అన్ ఆసన ఏ సీట్ ఇన్ ఎ శాంక్టిఫైడ్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ అ ప్యూర్ ప్లేస్ శుచౌ దేశే బై ప్లేసింగ్ ద కుషా గ్రాస్ డియర్ స్కిన్ అండ్ అ క్లాత్ అండ్ వన్ ఓవర్ ది అదర్ హీ హాస్ టు పుట్ దమ్ దెన్ ది ఆసన షుడ్ బి నెయిదర్ టూ హై నార్ టూ లో హీ గివ్స్ ఆల్ ద స్పెసిఫికేషన్ తత్రైకాగ్రమణ కృత్వా యతచిత్తేంద్రియ క్రియః ఉపవిశ్యాసనే యుంజ్యాత్ యోగమాత్మ విశుద్ధయే. సో వన్స్ ది పర్సన్ సిట్టెడ్ ఫర్మ్లీ ఆన్ దాట్ ద యోగి షుడ్ స్ట్రైవ్ టు ప్యూరిఫై ద మైండ్ బై ఫోకసింగ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ మెడిటేషన్ విత్ వన్ పాయింటెడ్ కాన్సన్ట్రేషన్ కంట్రోలింగ్ ఆల్ థాట్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ యాక్షన్స్. సో ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ స్పెసిఫికేషన్స్ ఫర్ డూయింగ్ మెడిటేషన్. A particular confusion can come here because the sixth chapter refers to the Nididhyasanam subject. It takes only asana niyama. Because in sixth chapter, Nididhyasanam is what is the subject. Otherwise, there are some other shlokas also. Because of smriti support, one should meditate because Nididhyasanam is not the meditation we are talking about. We are talking about Savandra meditation. First and the Karmanga Upanishad meditation and Nididhyasanam, first we said we are not going to argue on those two. And there are some other slokas also. Because of smriti support, one should meditate in seated posture. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. Smaranti cha. Smaranti, smritis also say the same way only. Or they declare so also. Now let us see the word significance. Smaranti. Smaranti refers to the smriti. Smritis they declare. And cha is again the conjunction. That is to reinforce with another pramana. Smritanti also. These smritis also. So if you don't wait to take the sixth chapter, for example, won't do that, then where is the other pramanam? In the Bhagavata Purana, there are several examples. And that is there in the Uddhava Gita, one of the very popular sections in the ninth. The slokas 32, 33, all that thing. Actually, we gave a series of lectures on Uddhava Gita long, long ago. It talks about upasana and posture. It is prescribed. Sama asana asinaha sama kayo yatha mukham hasta utsanga adhayam svanasagra kritekshanaha pranasyam shidayen margam shodayen margam pura kumbakare chakaihim పూర కుంభకరే చకై విపర్యేణాపి శనై ఆభ్యసే నిర్జితేంద్రియ నిర్జిత ఇంద్రియ. సో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు సిట్ స్ట్రైట్ ఆల్ ద స్పెసిఫికేషన్స్ ఆర్ కంఫర్టబుల్లీ ఆన్ అ సీట్ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్ థింగ్ అట్ ద లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫ్లోర్ దెన్ వన్ షుడ్ ప్లేస్ వన్స్ హ్యాండ్స్ ఇన్ వన్స్ ల్యాప్ అండ్ ఫోకస్ వన్స్ ఐస్ ఆన్ ద టిప్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ నోస్ డోంట్ ట్రై ఆల్ దాట్ యూ హెవ్ టు ఫోకస్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఐస్ టు ద టిప్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ వన్ నోస్ ఇట్ కెన్ హర్ట్ యువర్ ఐస్ దెన్ వన్ షుడ్ క్లియర్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ ప్రాణం one step way, the breathing thing, step by step, exercising, inhaling and retaining, exhaling, all that various ways of breathing in, breathing out, holding in, all that thing, controlling, while controlling all the senses. It gives all these various specifications. So with this, the fourth sutra is also over and the sixth adhikaranam is also over. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. Ekagrata adhikaranam has got only one sutra. ఎత్రైకాగ్రత తత్ర అవిశేషాత్ ఎత్రైకాగ్రత తత్ర అవిశేషాత్ 11th సూత్ర ఫస్ట్ పాద ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ 488 రన్నింగ్ ఉన్న సూత్ర. సో హియర్ వి ఆర్ నౌ ఎంట్రింగ్ ఇన్ టు అనదర్ అధికరణం సెవెంత్ టాపిక్ సెవెంత్ అధికరణం విత్ ఓన్లీ వన్ సూత్ర. ది సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఈస్ ద సేమ్ యాజ్ వి సెడ్ ఎర్లియర్ వి ఆర్ నాట్ లిసనింగ్ టు కర్మాంగ ఉపాసన ఆర్ వేదాంత జ్ఞానం వేదాంత ధ్యానం బోత్ దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఆసన. In Shankara Bhashyam, he uses Nididhyasana for Upasana also. Upasana means Saguna Dhyanam and Nididhyasana means Nirguna Dhyanam. That is the differentiation he makes. But Shankaracharya does not observe this rule. He uses this word for both. Normally we use Saguna Dhyanam, we use Upasana. Nirguna Dhyanam, we use Nididhyasana. But he uses both in different senses. Similarly, Brahman and Ishvara, these two words also. Brahman is supposed to be the Nirgunam Brahman and Ishvara are supposed to be Sagunam Brahman. So here, this the discussion is neither Karmanga Upasana or Vedanta Upasana, but Swatantra Upasana, as we already said earlier. And Swatantra Upasana requires sitting posture, that also we already mentioned. Then do we have any other rules to observe? Like for example, Dik, the direction, the Desha, the space, the Kala, the time for doing Swatantra Upasana? That is the question. And this is the question. And Dik means, as I told, direction. Should we sit in a particular direction, facing east and all, avoiding south? Only Dakshinamurti faces south. All others avoid south. Desha, in a particular place only, like puja room or any place conducive to do that. And the third one is Kala Niyama. Do we have any rule on the time of Upasana? And the Purupakshi says, those rules are to be observed like asana rules. Whatever you wanted to follow for the rules of seating, same thing, similar rules to be followed here also. And Siddhanta will be obviously negating the Purupakshi. And Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya, they say there are no such rules at all. Desha, Kala and Dik, all those rules are not there for Swatantra Upasana. For example, if you take Sandhyavandana Karma, the Niyamas are there. For Karmanga Upasana, it is decided by karmas. For Swatantra Upasana, doing Shiva Dhyanam or Vishnu Dhyanam, seated posture are compulsory. But Desha Kala Niyamas are not there. Seating is compulsory, but these Niyamas are not there. Since Swatantra Upasana requires focusing the thought without retraction with respect to the direction, the space, or the time, wherever you are able to focus without retraction, that desha is permitted, that place is fine, that kala is permitted, and that direction is also permitted. No rule as such is there for this particular purpose. We don't ban even the south direction, southerly direction is also fine. This is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis. Yatra ekagrata tatra viseshat. Tatra means we have to supply. A person can meditate in any place, at any time, facing any direction. Yatra, where? Ekagrata. That is, concentration is possible when you are by yourself. And aviseshat, since there is no scriptural specification with respect to place, time, or direction. Aviseshat. This is the running name. Now let us see the significance of the words. So wherever ekagrata is possible, ekagrata refers to, you know, concentration is possible. Ekam means one vishaya in front of the mind alone. Yatra ekagrata tatra upasana kurya. That's what it is. You do your meditation that place. One can practice Swatantra Upasana in such places. Why it is so? Because avisheshat, in the absence of any scriptural specification, unlike karma, because there is no other specification. When you do karmas, there are for rituals, you have got so many specifications. You have to face sitting face east and all that thing. And when one wants to perform Brahma Yajna ritual, he should face the Dik rule also, the direction rule. So when he wants to perform the Vaishvadeva Yajna, he should sit where is east, where east is down and west is up. So the last one is also Kala, the time. When Pindapitra Yajna is done, it should be done in the afternoon only, Madhyana Kala. This is called Niyama, Kala Niyama. So all these are karmas. Whereas for Swatantra Upasana, no such specification is given. We'll discuss a point which is dealt with by Shankaracharya for this sutra actually. The Purupakshi raises an objection and Vyasacharya said the scriptural specification is not there for Pratika Upasana. Scriptural specification is not there for Pratika Upasana. And Purupakshi questions that statement. How do you say such specification is not there? That is Purupakshi's question. And this shows that you have not read the scriptures properly. In Svetasvatara Upanishad mantra, there is a second chapter, there is a mantra, 10th mantra. It prescribes Desha in minute detail. Desha means place. How do you say Desha Nima Nasti? How do you say it is not there? The second chapter, 10th mantra of Svetasvatara Upanishad says, Same Shuchau Sharkara Vannivalika Vivarjite Shapta Jalashrayadibihi Mano Nukule Natu Chakshupidane Guha Nivata Shrayane guhani vata shrayane prayojaye. What it says is, one should be in a clean, level place, free from all kinds of, you know, stones and all that things, fire, gravel, none of them should be there. Favorable to thought by the mind, because by the sound of water, you should sit by water. So the flowing water, it is very conducive to a very nice, conducive environment and other features. Not offensive to the eye. So in a hidden retreat, protected from the wind. So let that person perform his all his yoga and all that thing. That is the statement in that Upanishad. So the place, stagnant water is there, such place you should avoid. So you should have flowing water. So if there's a huge reservoir, cold wind may affect the body. Can such place may be avoided? The place should not affect the eyes too much. And one commentator says even that there should not be too much glaring light that may disturb the eyes also. So the eyes also refer to some kind, they are also disturbed by some flies also. So there should not be insects, flies. So the place should be similar, similar to a cave, and where too much wind is not there. Therefore, the Purvapakshi claims, this Upanishad specifically states the place for meditation. How Vyasacharya says the place is not prescribed? Then Shankaracharya comes to his defense. Shankaracharya says that there is another crucial word in this mantra. Manonukule, as I told in the thing, on the third line, manonukule natu chakshupidane. Manonukule, there is a very, very critical word, manaha. So manonukule, this word which is conducive for your concentration, for your mind to think. We are not talking about adrishtapalam, but drishtapalam here. The place favorable for meditator. And therefore, the importance is to be given to manonukula. And all other suggestions are not compulsory rules. They are all secondary only. Because it is a manasa karma. Meditation is a manasa karma. Therefore, manonukulam, that niyama is very important. And therefore, all other conditions, they become secondary. This is Shankaracharya's arguments. The conditions are not vidhi and they are only suggestions. Conduciveness is a suggestion there. So, desha vishesha is compulsorily presented. Suggestions are given by the Upanishad and you need not follow. They are only suggestions for the other things. If you make such things compulsory, then you cannot practice meditation at all. All the rules, such rules, they are only secondary. So, sit and concentrate the mind. That is compulsory vidhi. With this, the 11th sutra is also over. The 7th adhikaranam is also over. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. 8th adhikaranam. Aprayana adhikaranam. Aprayanat tatrapihi drishtam. 12th sutra, first pada, 4th chapter. Now let us see a general introduction to this adhikaranam with only one sutra. A small adhikaranam. The subject matter here again is upasana only. And an important rule regarding the upasana is being discussed here. And we have already mentioned the three types of upasana before. And one is karmanga upasana, which is part of Vedic ritual and cannot independently exist. It is part of a karma, a ritual. Next one is swatantra upasana, independent upasana. And here we have external symbol called the pratikam we have. And this we will deal with in the ahangraha upasana also I mentioned earlier. We discussed in the Brahma Sutra in the third chapter, third pada, in the vikalpadhikarana. We already saw that 59th sutra, vikalpaham avisishta palatvat. In that sutra, we already went through that upasana, ahangraha upasana and all that. And the uniqueness of this upasana is, like swatantra upasana, it can exist independently without any ritual. Here the upasya devata is invoked upon oneself, ahangraha upasana. Aham is taken as the locus of the devata. For all the ahangraha upasana, the palam is upasya devata aikyam. If it is virat upasana, virat aikyam. If it is hiranyagarbha upasana, hiranyagarbha aikyam. So the palam is supposed to be the aikyam with God. And it is nothing but krama mukti. Those who do Saguna Upasana, Saguna Brahma Upasana, they will become one with Ishvara during the Upasana. Ishvara Aikyam or Krama Mukti is the palam in these cases. And the point to be noted here is, The upasana is that I should invoke God on myself. Ahangraha upasana. This is the topic. And what is the controversy here? How long one should practice this upasana for its success? Everybody wants to know how long I should do the upasana for its success. Because with respect to karma, the restriction is there. With respect to Vedanta Vichara also, how long question always comes. If you remember, there we asked the question, how long one should attend the classes? Avritti means repetition. We said, Vicharasya Palam is clear knowledge. That is the palam of the clear inquiry. Whether I gain the knowledge decides the duration of the upasana. If one says, with today's class, things are all clear, that means that person is free. Next moment, he doesn't have to come to this class. Therefore, nididhyasanam is drishtapalam, and we don't do it for punyam, and it is for clear understanding only. So if the understanding is there, one can stop the upasana. It is optional. And in the case of ahangraha upasana, it is for limited time only. So parichinna kala. But Vyasacharya says no. That is Purvapakshi's argument. It is only for limited time. Whereas Vyasacharya says no. Ahangraha upasana can be fruitful only if he does it until death. Oh my God, that's very strong. Ahangraha upasana can be fruitful only if he does until death. Unlike nididhyasana. For nididhyasana, such a rule is not there. This is the topic of this adhikaran. Now let us do the general analysis of this sutra. Here Vyasacharya very clearly prescribes the rule. Prayanam means living, dying. So prayanam. So here ahangraha upasana should be done with until death. Until death should be done. And what is the pramanam for that? The pramanam is that Shastra prescribes that upasana should be prescribed even at the moment of death. At the moment of death. In Bhagavad Gita also, 8th chapter, we saw that. The upasakam should be an expert yogi and must have practiced so thoroughly. And he should sit in Padmasana even at the time of death. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. 8th chapter. The one at the time of death with unmoving mind attained by the practice of yoga, he should fix the prana between the two eyebrows and steadily remembers the Lord with great devotion. He certainly will attain that Lord. So then several questions will come now. First, let us complete the sutra part. We will do the rest later. There is in the Satapatha Brahmanam, we have quoted this Brahmanam earlier also, in the 10th chapter, 6th section, the third mantra, there is 10.6.3.1 that says, Yavat Kratuhu Ayam Asma Lokat Praitya Evam Kratuhu Hamu Lokam Praitya Abhisambhavati. At the time of death, whichever thought, whatever the person utters, he becomes that. That's a very powerful mantra. This is one pramanam. And Smriti pramanam also in Bhagavad Gita, we have seen it many times in the 8th chapter. Yam vapi smaran bhavam tejantyande kalevaram tam tameveti kaunteyam sada tadbhava bhavitaha. Whatever a person remembers upon giving up this body at the time of death, one attains that state, being always absorbed in such contemplation. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu Mamanusmara Yudhyacha Maya Pitamano Buddhihi Mame Vaishyasi Asamshayam. He promises Krishna, always remember me and also do your duty of fighting the war also. Engage in worldly viharas. With mind and intellect surrendered unto me, you will definitely Mame Vaishyasi attain me. So whatever he thinks at the time of death, he becomes after that. Therefore, if you want to become one with God, at Prayana Kala, you remember Ishvara only. And one question that comes into the mind is, if one is to remember God at the time of death, there is no need of remembering God all the time. Because whatever a person remembers at the time of death, he is going to become that. Then why waste time for the entire life of thinking the same thing? No need, right? So now let us give him word analysis. Aprayanat tatrapi hi drishtam. That is a sutra. Aprayanat means upasana has to be practiced Ahangraha Upasana is understood here, we should understand, until death. He means because Tatra Api, practice of Upasana even at the time of death. Tatra refers to at the moment of death also. Drishtam, that is prescribed in the scriptures. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Aprayana means until death, even at the moment of death, Ahangraha Upasana has to be practiced. So even at the moment of death, practice of meditation is prescribed. Drishta. Drishta means it is seen in the scriptures. Here we have to note a subtle difference. Until death, you do Ishvara Upasana. Then you know difference between at the moment of death that is prescribed and the conclusion is until death. You have to do throughout the life until death. A person is supposed to do it throughout the life until death. Drishta means such an injunction is found in the Shruti, in the Vedas. That is, one Shruti is Shatapatha Brahmana Shruti and Smriti is Bhagavad Gita. So Purvapakshi prescribes Ishvara Dhyanam at the time of death, not until death. Why you insist Dhyanam until death is his question. For that, Shankaracharya, he gives the answer. If a person has to remember Ishvara at the time of death, his subconscious mind should be saturated with Ishvara Vasana only. Our thoughts are influenced by our free will and vasanas. In fact, there is constant fight between these two. I think good, but I don't practice good. I am convinced of positive thought, but will is there. Often I fail still. So thoughts happen in spite of my will. Our thoughts are determined by will and vasana. And as we get older, the vasanas are stronger and will is weak. Free will is not even functioning at the time of death. How many experiences we have gone through on all this? Each experience registers some vasana. Towards death, willpower is practically absent. And the will is almost zero at the time of death. If Ishvara Smaranam is to happen, our free will is not there at the time of death. So we should saturate the mind with Ishvara Vritti. It should become mechanical. When you cease, you call Krishna. When you sneeze, when you sit, you call Krishna. If the knee pains, call Rama. It should be saturating the mind. How to do it? Control the subconscious mind with Vritti Avritti, the repetition of that thought, that Vritti all the time. This is otherwise called Abhyasaha. This word Krishna used actually in the 6th chapter. Asam shayam maha baho manodur nigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena cha grihyate. By practice and detachment, this can be controlled. So sheer repetition of ahangraha upasana. Invoke the upasya devata repeatedly in me. I should deliberately remove the distance between me and the devata. This is destruction of Veda. It is not through Advaita Jnanam. That requires self-knowledge. We are not talking about that here. This is Ahangraha Upasana. We visualize, I am Vishnu, I am Shiva. This repetition leads to Abheda Sakshatkara. I visualize God in this life. It means one's mind is saturated with Upasya Devata. One has to become one with that Devata. Veda says in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th section, 2nd mantra, Savijnano bhavati, savijnanameva anvavakramati, tam vidya karmanim samanvarabhete, purva prajnacha. We discuss all these mantras in great detail. The Upasaka, he gets several faculties of Devata, many powers, and gets Devata Shakti also. So this also follows from the comparison to the caterpillar example that was all given in that section. The leech takes hold of another object. When it is moving from one leaf to another leaf, it first takes hold of the another object before it leaves the previous objects. In the 4th chapter, 4th section, 3rd mantra, tadyata trinajala yukam trinastyantam gatva anyam akramam akramya atmanam upasamharati evameva ayam atma idagum shariram nikatyam avidyam gamayitvam అన్యం ఆక్రమం ఆక్రమ్యం ఆత్మానం ఉపసంహరతి. సాచ్యురేషన్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ విత్ ఐఎమ్ గాడ్ థాట్, సాచ్యురేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్ విత్ ఐఎమ్ గాడ్ థాట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ అభేద సాక్షాత్కార. Once this comes to the mind at the time of death, one will get the phala. And again, 3rd chapter, 17th section, 6th mantra of Chandrakya says, let a person at the time of death take refuge with this triad. What are this triad? Undecaying, unchanging, vital force made fully fine, all those three. Each one refers to one yajur mantra actually. Each one of them. Saham antavelayam etat trayam pratipadyetha. What are those three? అక్షితమసి అచ్యుతమసి ప్రాణసగుంసితమసి ఇతి తత్రైతే ద్వే రుచౌ భవతః. సో అగైన్ ఆల్ ది అక్షితమసి రెఫర్స్ టు అన్డికేయింగ్, అచ్యుతమసి అన్చేంజింగ్, బైట్ ప్రాణసగుంసితమసి టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ద ప్రాణ. ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ వన్ షుడ్ టేక్ మెడిటేట్ అపాన్. And again, Prashnopadishtha also, Prashnopadishtha in the 3rd chapter, 10th mantra says, prana united with light, together with the individual self, leads on to the world as conceived at the moment of death. All refer to that thing. Yachittas tenesham pranam ayati pranas tejasa yuktaha sahatmana tata sankalpitam లోకం నయతి, తథా సంకల్పితం లోకం నయతి, వాట్ ఎవర్ హీ హస్ బీన్ థింగ్ ఆఫ్ హీ రీచెస్ దట్ ప్లేస్. సో పుణ్యం డస్ నాట్ డిటర్మిన్ యువర్ అంతకాల ఈశ్వర స్మరణం, యువర్ ప్రాక్టీస్ అలోన్ డిటర్మిన్స్. దేర్ఫోర్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఆల్ ది టైమ్. ఇన్ కేస్ ఆఫ్ అగ్నిహోత్రం, పుణ్యం విల్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ స్మరణ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్. దెన్ అ పర్సన్ ఈస్ అన్ నిత్యాగ్నిహోత్రి అండ్ ఆల్ హూ హస్ బీన్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ ఇట్ త్రూఅవుట్ ద లైఫ్, దెన్ ద పుణ్యం హీ అటైన్స్ బై డూయింగ్ దోస్ రిచువల్స్ that will influence his smaranam at the time of death. Only in case of ahangraha upasana, it is only vasana that influences this smarana. With this theme, 12th chapter is also, 12th sutra is also over. With this, the sadhana topic is also over. Hereafter alone, we really enter the 4th chapter. One cannot entertain such a thought of Ishvara at the time of departure, at the timarchana of pranam from this body without practice for the whole life. One cannot say, it's if I have to only think about at the time of death, why spend the entire life on this thought? No need. At the time of death, I will think. Never happens. Therefore, meditation must be practiced up to death. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam and the next sutra in the next class. So Vedadau Swara Prakto Vedante Cha Pratishthitah అస్య విలీనస్య పరసమహేశ్వరః పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణమిదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.